This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, we are live. It is Titty Tuesday.
Ooh. I'm glad I remembered mine.
Oh man, I didn't bring mine.
See, yours would not make an impact.
Sorry. Oh yes, they would.
Okay, if you say so. Alright, you're a proud.
They would call me Polly Pretzel for a reason. Mm-hmm.
I told you I follow this woman on Instagram. She's just got the biggest, most enormous, outrageous fake boobs you've ever seen in the world.
The enormous. One who smashed... Does she smash things
with
her boobs?
Yeah, she smashes things with them. She plays the piano. Look, she's a sweet lady, but she's got this body dysmorphia thing, clearly.
Mm.
You know, where her boobs are never big enough, and she keeps going for operations. And I mean, it's quite dangerous. So, before anybody climbs into me for being, like, completely insensitive, which I am. I mean,
so we know you are, but we just won't climb into you for it.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, you should be used to me by now. But she has these outrageous breasts. They must be, I kid you not, the size of big watermelons.
What's her name again?
Big watermelons. I'll look her up for you now.
Do you ever converse with her?
No. I just
you
know
just
what
enjoy
I
watching.
No, here's the thing. I mean, I don't have a thing about big breasts either, actually.
No, you don't. The
fact is, she's just, it's like humorous to me because she sits and plays the piano and she can barely get her arms around her tits to reach the keys. It's just, you know, like here's this woman and she's living her life and she's obsessed with having bigger and bigger and bigger breasts. And she's allowed, you know? She's allowed to. She lives her life. She wears these outrageous outfits that show off her breasts. And it's just great.
It's just who she is.
Yeah, lovely.
And she paid great money
you know,
for them.
I do love that. And this is why whenever I get into arguments with people about, you know, who you are and identity politics and all that stuff, the fact is I don't really take it that seriously. Where I take it seriously is when it starts to incur on other people's freedom. If you want to have the biggest breasts in the world, you go ahead. If you want to be called Z0 or Ziz, I think those are the pronouns. I'm not even sure. You know, you choose them. You basically make them up. And by the way, I've got a story on that. Just remind me.
Oh, yeah.
There's a story in the news that's just unreal. If you want to call, yourself, you know, an attack helicopter, you're allowed to. It's absolutely fine. The problem is, don't like expect me to have to follow that rule. Like, if you have enormous breasts, don't expect me to not laugh. Because these are clown size.
No, but also she's putting them on Instagram, so she
right.
She must expect all
correct.
Sorts of reactions.
So you know what? I don't mind if anybody in the world is expressing themselves in some real way. You go for it. You knock yourself out. That's good.
And even knock yourself out with your boobs.
Well,
perhaps.
I hope not, because I don't want her to be hurt, and I don't want people to victimize her or treat her badly. But you know, it is kind of funny. And if you find stuff, if you find it offensive that I find some people funny, then the problem's really with you, not with me. Because I'm not going out to hurt people. I'm really not. It's just human beings, even supposedly in inverted commas, normal human beings, are hilarious. They're funny. They do stupid things. They say stupid things. They make funny noises. They walk strangely. They have odd relationships. Like, humans are a joke. If you were God watching this from afar, you'd be nonstop entertained. This would be the best TV show ever. And that's why we like watching reality TV, right? Because people are hilarious.
It's yeah. a mess.
Anyway, so like I watch her and I just, it makes me happy. It's like I live in a world where this is totally cool and she's allowed to have the biggest, craziest breasts on earth. And it's she gets herself into these photo shoots which are, like, it's just crazy. She's also got the Botox in the lips and everything. I can't remember her name now. I'm trying to look for her to give everybody so you can all follow her. I mean, she would love the followers, right?
Yeah, of course she would.
She's desperately keen on the followers. So I'm going to find her name for you just now. And it's always on, like, the tip of my tongue. And I can never remember what her name is.
See, there are certain things I don't want on my Google history to Google big... breasted woman.
Oh yeah,
Instagram.
It would be quite scary for you.
No, I think it would.
Okay, screw it. Big breasted woman.
Look for it
on
because
Instagram.
Okay.
Oh,
You found some?
Top 10 nice tits of Instagram. From the website titsfinder.com.
Yeah, that's what I used.
There's also the account Big Boobs TV on Insta.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll find her. I'll find a few just now.
But she's a lovely place.
She's hilarious.
Top 200 busty babes on Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is why
you, you know what sorts of Google ads you're going to be getting now when you look up normal things.
Oh, well, we're just going to skip past it. Gareth, did you get to watch the Game of Thrones finale?
Yes, but I'm not going to spoil it for anybody else.
How long are you going to wait?
I'll wait until Gord tomorrow, and then I'll spoil it whether he's seen it or not.
I think it's a good time to do it tomorrow because I think, what, Ben will be here?
Well,
and Gordon, yeah, they watch
look,
it.
I would like very much to talk about it tomorrow, but if you... I don't know. Can you just get on and see it? Like, I was talking to a friend of mine, this girl who's absolutely, like, she loves Game of Thrones like you can't believe. And I love when girls are into these fantasy shows as well, because most girls, like, ridicule us guys when we watch them. They're like, oh, come on.
Grow
like
up.
Dragons and castles and swords. What are you, like, five? But she gets it. She totally gets it. And she's so into it as well. So she's messaging me last night. Crazy. Out of the blue. I think I was at gym. Mm-hmm. Last night, and then she's messaging me. She's like furious. This is just crazy. This didn't happen. That didn't happen. They haven't tied up this thing. How could they do this? She goes, exactly. I'm going to hold on to the hope that there's maybe another season in the way. And
oh.
So can I say what I've, just the headlines that I've seen?
Well.
Not really.
Yeah, I don't want you to spoil
okay,
it.
Okay, all right.
But just in case, let's give them another day.
Well, I don't know if this is a thing, but there was another blooper.
Just hold on. We'll get to that in a second. I got this message from somebody, which I think deserves addressing. It's from Alex. Alex says, hey, Gareth, this is from yesterday, but I didn't get to it. Long-time listener of your show. I just have to say, I remember the days when you were on 5FM. You used to love giving the Oscar Award spoilers, and I remember you saying that if you were a big enough fan, you would have stayed up to watch it.
Oh, that's true.
That's true.
I'd forgotten about that.
So there are a couple of things here. First of all, the Oscars, who really gives a shit? I mean, it's not like a story you've been invested in for 8 years, like Game of Thrones.
That's true.
So it's just the Oscars. And plus, the Oscars, don't tell me those are prestigious awards anymore. They used to be. They're not. The Oscars, it's kind of like a, you know, it's an art prize at the agricultural show. Really. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, yes, I'm so sorry to do this, but occasionally I change and become better. Would you like me to stay in arrested development forever? There are a lot of things about my personality which were very adolescent and continue to be, right? But some of them I've managed to work on a little bit. Just made some progress. So don't, when you say things like this to me, send me a message like that, it just... My inner rebel starts to, like, it kicks and it hurts me on the inside. And I can feel it like the alien with Sigourney Weaver. It's going to punch through and it's coming for you. So please don't do it. This stuff provokes me. Don't say to me that what I said 10 years ago, now I'm obviously a hypocrite because I say something different. It's called maturing.
And like with we said yesterday, people change over years.
Oh, my God.
Think about yourself and how you've changed in 10 years.
Well, people are able to do that when they look at themselves, but they're not able to see that in other people.
Mm.
I know people who've still got a grudge against people they knew when they were 10 because they think the people that they met when they were 10, like there was a bully on the playground or whatever, and when they see them now, they're like, oh, that fucking bully. But actually, he might have... had kids of his own and realized the error of his ways and
yeah.
might have grown up a little bit. You know, like, I used to spoil the Oscars. Shitty thing to do. I think I've got better. Like, no, I don't want to spoil the Oscars, even though the Oscars are stupid. But I don't want to spoil that for people. And the same goes for Game of Thrones. You want to hear Casper De Vries?
Oh.
He is. Talk about Game of Thrones. So, all right. I can't play you the whole thing because...
It reveals some details?
Well, not really. Let me just play you the opening, and I'll stop it where he says, like, spoiler alert. Just because you know Casper's tone, and you can go and watch it yourself when you're ready, but it's very, very funny. So he's furious with the producers, and he says...
Please don't watch this if you have not seen the final ep of Hoth, Game of Thrones. If you have, then continue. I'm speaking in English because I want everyone to understand this shit. And just to say, I can't even write. It's going to take a novel to write all my complaints. I'm just quickly going to say that I don't understand what the hell happened.
And he carries on, but he's hilarious about it. So he's very cross about the final episode.
Gosh.
Do you feel that way? Do you feel like they...
No.
Do you feel duped?
No.
Do you feel like...
No.
The series has ended on a high for you.
Look, there's a lot, like my friend was saying on WhatsApp, there's a lot that's untidy and that hasn't been sorted out. And I think they're building up for another. They're either building up for a sequel, which is not unimaginable, or a bunch of spin-off shows, which
or
is
a movie?
Equally imaginable.
Yeah, they've admitted
the
spin-offs.
Yeah, it might be a movie. There's going to be a whole lot that comes out of this. So what they've done, these bastards, instead of just doing a beautiful story and closing it up after eight seasons and saying, here is a magnificent story, like Tolkien did.
Yeah.
Tolkien didn't leave... He obviously, there were prequels, The Silmarillion and all that stuff, but at the end of The Lord of the Rings, it's kind of over. And that is good, because human beings, we have such trouble dealing with mortality. We have so much trouble dealing with our own demise, and that everything just eventually stops.
Yeah.
Like, there isn't another story after your story's finished. You're just in the ground and you're gone. It's finished.
It's like Big Bang Theory, which has now come to its end after, I think, the same amount of time.
Yeah, so this encourages childishness, and it gets people trapped in this loop of non-reality, of like life just will carry on and there'll be a new story and then you'll have a new this and there'll be these characters that can be resuscitated. And no, it's just bad. It's like, jumping the shark. It's when Bobby came alive on Dallas. It's just crazy.
Well,
you're not allowed to do this.
You also mix that with executives who are happy with the numbers and the thought of making more money. They won't say no to that.
No, of course not. But I don't mind them doing prequels and I don't mind them doing spin-offs. But you can't carry this story on. See, the way they see it, I totally get it from a money point of view, because they've invested huge amounts of money in developing these characters. George R. R. Martin started the process, and then these other guys have carried it on. So they've got these characters who are now very developed, and people are in love with, like, Arya Stark, and, you know, people have feelings about Jon Snow and all of these things. So that's fine, but sometimes it's okay to just let those characters go. Every character has to have a death. Everyone. And what I liked about George R. R. Martin in the beginning and for the first few seasons is he didn't have a problem killing people, even people that we loved. And that's how the real world works. Like, sometimes you lose people.
Yeah.
And it's just unrealistic and childish, and it plays to this inner, like, kid in everybody that you can just carry on playing forever. You can't.
Yeah.
Like, it's better when a story ends. So that's my only misgiving, but I enjoy it. It's beautifully, beautifully made. This whole season, for all the complaints that everybody has, I don't think, in terms of cinematography and production and action and CGI and lighting and drama and all of that stuff, I don't think you could ever be exposed to a more beautifully crafted television series.
TV series, yeah. I mean, that's what it is.
My God, it's well done. And on an epic scale. So to that end, I'm just, blown away. And so what if I'm upset? Like, the producers don't have to please me. And if it didn't go exactly the way I wanted, well, boo-hoo, I didn't write the books.
Yeah.
I'm here to enjoy it. I'm just in the audience. So anyway, that's done.
Except for the little bloopers here and there.
Yeah, no, so what was the blooper that you were going to mention? There were two water bottles.
Water bottles, yeah. And then someone has actually been keeping tabs over the whole season. So they said, so far they found a coffee cup.
It was like a McDonald's coffee cup or something. It was Starbucks.
Yeah. There was a scene where a cameraman was spotted. There was also a scene over the course of the series where a character was wearing sneakers. And then this Jamie character, who was meant to have one hand, had two.
Right.
And I don't know what this means.
Drogon's the dragon, yeah.
Was flying alone over KL.
King's Landing.
Okay, whatever that means. And then now there's a water bottle. So, eek. Shame. I would be pissed if I, as just part of the team, and you put all of this effort in, and you know there's tons of pressure, and there's so much money, And then you're sitting at home or at a screening with the crew and you go, what's that doing
there? Well, you know what they do is they just go in, because they're now going to release this as a box set, obviously, and, you know, downloadable, you know, series or whatever. So they'll go in and they'll edit those things out. They'll actually remove them. Anyway, I mean, that's all very fun. And I'm glad I watched it. I'm not upset at all. People are upset. You know what? You've got to get over it. Some things don't go your way.
There are more important things in life.
So here's the story I wanted to tell you. This is hilarious. There are some very, very bizarre things going on in the world. And we were talking about people.
Yes, there are.
People's identity. So this is the case of a transgender man whose pregnancy was recognized too belatedly, resulting in a stillbirth. So let's get this right. So in other words, a man can't be pregnant.
So he must have been born as a woman.
Yeah, he was born as a woman. So he's a woman biologically. I don't care what his pronouns are, and I'm not going to be sensitive about this. I'll show you why. So he, I must call him he, I suppose, because he wants to be called he.
Transgender
but
man.
But it's a she. Yeah. So it's a woman who transitioned into a man. And this person wants their medical details to be written down as a man, even though
they were born a woman.
Internal biology is a woman. So she had a baby inside her. But because she filled in male, the doctors didn't bother to, like, check
to look
she
for
had
pregnancy
a uterus.
Signs. Yeah.
Exactly. And she never corrected the doctors because she's a he in her head. Now, whatever you think of yourself in your head is totally unimportant to those people who are going to be working on your body to try and save you when you're ill.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes into the hospital. She's like, oh, I've got these terrible stomach cramps. And So they're like, well, it must be an obstruction in the bowel. Or, you know, the doctors usually, on the face of it, don't guess that you might have a uterus when you present as a man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
And maybe she's taken lots of hormone therapy and she's got, like, the male jaw. And maybe she's got, like, no breasts because she's had mastectomies and all that stuff. But the worst, the most stupid thing about this is that she doesn't bother to reveal to them that she was born a woman.
Yeah.
I wonder, did he know he was pregnant?
No, but are you saying this is the problem. It's like we've got to a point where it's ridiculous now. Your actual health is in danger.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happened is that this child was stillborn. So a little person has lost their life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a result of the mental illness of the person who is unable to tell the doctors that they're actually a woman.
Mm.
This is really, people want to know what the cost of this is. And they're like, oh, it's just discrimination. And there should be bathrooms for men and women, and transgender people should be able to use whichever one they feel most comfortable. Fine. That's fine. Nobody cares about that. And anybody who says they do, that's entirely their business.
You've got your own problems.
Yeah,
then.
Sure. And I mean, if you don't want to send your daughter into a bathroom with some creepy looking tranny, that's also fine because it's your daughter, right? And for all you know, that is a creepy looking tranny and she might be dangerous for all you know. I don't know. None of my business. I don't have children, so I don't give a shit. But the fact is, this is an actual cost.
It's a cost to her life, and this person could have died
this
as well.
This person could have died too, and they're so crazy about this gender thing in their heads that they're not willing to tell the doctor, the one person who really should know everything about you physically. They've created their alternate reality in
their
heads.
That's it. They're deluded. Mm. They've actually ignored what's going on in their bodies.
The real world.
Because in the real world, it's not like, I didn't know I was pregnant. That's very, very rare. So this person, even if they identified as a male, would have known something was going on in their body. But they wished it away.
I'm a little confused by how this happened. So if this person has had surgery and, you know, to change their organs, why would you leave your uterus?
Well, this is the point. They don't all have the same operation.
Yeah.
Some transgender people want to keep the bottom half and some people want to keep the top half. I mean, it's all just so...
Some want to
so individual. It's so personal. Yeah. So...
Then if you've wanted to procreate and here you are feeling some sort of issue.
But the article is from The Advocate, right, which is a gay newspaper magazine, and they insist on using these pronouns as well, which only inculcates in this already bad situation a worse potential future situation. Here's how they tell the story. The point is not what's happened to this particular individual, but that this is an example of what happens to transgender people who interact with the healthcare system. Now, it's the healthcare system's fault.
Mm.
Because
they must guess.
1% maybe of the world's population do not present as being the sex that they are, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I would see
the... Is it really 1%?
Tiny. Oh. It's less than 1%. I'm saying 1% to be generous. Leanne presents herself. Right? Leanne looks like a woman. I'm going to assume Leanne...
Oh, thank goodness.
I'm going to assume Leanne has the internal and external physical features of a woman, particularly when we get to the abdomen and the genitalia and all the rest. So if I'm a doctor, I'm going to make that assumption. It's the right assumption to make, especially in a triage situation where you've got problems and someone's come in with a major issue. You don't have time to, okay, well, let me treat them as a man or a woman. And you've got to try to remove as many ifs and buts as possible. So
you're
going to
say
problem.
Things like, are you sure you're not pregnant? Can we x-ray you?
Correct. Now, you're not going to say that to a man. I'm not going to go to see her and say, are you sure you're not pregnant? Can I x-ray you?
He might smack you.
But first of all, waste of time.
Yeah.
Because 99% of the time, Sia presents as a man. There's no reason for me to start assuming that somewhere deep inside, there's a uterus.
Mm.
You understand? And this article seems to... Here's how they carry on. The 32-year-old man... It's not... whose name and location were not revealed, was admitted to hospital for the treatment of severe abdominal pain. A nurse thought he was simply obese, not initially considering the possibility of pregnancy because his medical records classified him as male and he had a masculine appearance.
Hmm.
But he did tell the nurse he was transgender. He had quit taking testosterone, which can suppress ovulation, because he had lost his health insurance. After some further examination, a pregnancy test was ordered, but the hospital personnel still did not consider his situation an urgent matter. Now, it's their fault. I don't understand how this is allowed to happen in real-world situations. People can die. There is an actual cost to this craziness. And I'm sorry, nobody except you, in your own private world, knows how you'd like to be addressed, what your identity, and that's nobody's business. Nobody cares, actually.
And it's not their fault if they get it wrong either.
No, so stop this. Isn't this crazy?
Yeah.
Little stillborn child, a person who's obviously already got health issues if they're obese, and now they've also got a pregnancy that was misdiagnosed, and you know, they could have got into huge health problems themselves if they had just. I mean, it's just crazy. It really drives me mad. All right, got that out of my system. You ready for some other stuff?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, the five things you need to know. Well, you're excitable today. Gareth, go and check out Rich Mulholland's take on the last episode. He has valid points without any spoilers. Chris, I will.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I spoke to Rich last week. We had breakfast together, and he's such a fan of Game of Thrones. Loves it.
Hmm.
Did you leave the breakfast feeling inspired?
Yeah. You know what? Rich is just... Whenever I have breakfast or lunch or anything with him, it always feels like we're trying to squeeze a million things into that hour or whatever, because we don't see each other a lot. And he's such an interesting guy to listen to. And he asks such interesting questions that make you think. And I always feel like it's not enough time.
I often wonder what it's like to be one of his kids, because you're sitting with him at the dinner table. Like, well, he's giving you life advice over, like, peas.
Yeah, how a school turns into a life lesson.
Yeah.
Do you know that school alters your mind? Yeah. And you're able to change the perception of, Dad, I just wanted the peas. Yeah. I just wanted the peas.
All right, so let's look at five things you need to know today. Where should we begin?
Do you want Start to, at the beginning.
Do you want to murder a story?
Wow. Just for Sia, the killer's out there.
So convicted wife killer Rob Packham was branded an accomplished liar by a high court judge who handed down the verdict on Monday. I'm so glad that judges are starting to call people out as liars. You know, we don't say often enough that people are liars. We don't call them out in public anymore like we used to. And sometimes it's good to say to someone, you're just a liar. Because that is still a very barbed insult, right? So this guy, apart from being a liar, is also a murderer. He's guilty of killing Jill Packham, that's his wife, defeating or obstructing the administration of justice. The school secretary's body was found in the boot of a burnt-out BMW at Deeper Fuse Station in February last year after she failed to arrive for work. While handing down judgment, the judge said Packham had shown that he was an accomplished liar who deceived his family while he relentlessly pursued a mistress. Stain once again questioned Packham's actions on the morning his wife disappeared, and the manner in which he reacted after finding out a body was in the boot of the burnt-out green BMW. She accepted the evidence of all state witnesses as reliable and found he killed his wife, placed her body in the boot of her car, set it alight, and proceeded to give the police false evidence.
Actually, literally got chills in mentioning all of this.
Stain said the accused failed to express any emotion while testifying in court and instead became agitated and anxious when he struggled to answer questions put to him by the state. The judge also found it interesting that Packham failed to report his wife missing at the Deeper Fuse police station.
That's half the crime. I mean, I'm watching, I've just finished binge-watching Dead to Me on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, I've got to watch that.
Christina Applegate is her name.
You said it's so good, yeah.
Yeah, and it's all about covering up a crime, covering up a killing. And that's half the crime is not reporting it.
Well, this guy looks like any, you know, he looks like an older dad, but like the dad of girls that I dated once. You know what I mean? Like an ordinary dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's an ordinary guy. He's got like silvery hair and not a lot of it. He's wearing a jacket and tie and he's just like a ordinary pasty old white man. And this guy is a murderer?
Well,
I would never have said. You see, there's no look to these people.
Anyone can do it.
You always think the murderer looks dangerous. This guy doesn't look dangerous.
Well, I told you the story off air, though. It's a horrible, horrible story that my mother and her circle of friends are currently dealing with.
Yeah.
One of their associates, I wouldn't exactly call them a friend, they just go to church with this lady, was looking after her grandchild as she usually did while her kid and her son-in-law were away from home. And this all happened back in November of last year.
Yeah.
And there was one particular day where the parents of this child were away from home and the grandmother was looking after the grandchild. And she, according to her, left the room for a moment while she was busy changing the baby. And instead of being on the changing table, the baby was on top of the bed. And she says when she came back into the room, the baby was on the floor. The baby was rushed to hospital, stayed in ICU for almost a month, but ultimately, pardon?
The baby obviously was really badly hurt.
According to the grandmother, the baby rolled from the bed and fell onto the floor.
Okay.
Ultimately, and unfortunately, excuse me, the baby passed away. But now it's recently come out that the doctors say the injuries that the baby sustained aren't just from a baby rolling off the bed and falling. They said that the skull
when you first told me the story, I thought that, but obviously being sensitive, I thought I'm not going to say that.
They said the skull looks too intense and too bruised to just be from one fall.
Because babies are quite resilient. I mean, you find often in car accidents, they're the only survivor at times because they haven't expected it and, you know, they're quite supple.
And so now here you go.
Coming out.
Someone who my mother goes to church with and greets every Sunday is now being investigated.
Are they saying the grandmother would have abused this child?
That's what they're looking at.
Something else. I mean, like a killer grandmother.
Oh.
Jesus.
So Rob looks like the guy who you'll fight over the last pie in the grocery store over.
He's the kind of guy who'd bump into you in the coffee aisle at your favorite supermarket and go, oh, sorry.
Mm.
Meanwhile, tweet, 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 killing
the woman you meet in church.
Stop it with your thing about the killer. Free State Police said a bus driver was found hanging from a tree just hours after his vehicle overturned on Alma Road in Velcom, killing 8 of his passengers. 45 others were injured in Monday morning's accident, and they were treating them in hospital. Police spokesperson Motsatsi Makele said they had opened an inquest docket. The bus driver's body was found 300 meters from where the bus had overturned. The body was hanging in the tree, but for now we cannot conclude that the driver hanged himself until we have concluded.
Oh, there might have been angry people involved.
Well, maybe he just did kill himself because he felt guilty about what he'd done to all these other people.
Mm.
You know? So there we go.
Shame.
Very strange. And then this is interesting. Police said on Monday that they'd rearrested escaped serial rape accused Sibusiso Blessing Kuzwayo at Chris Baragwanath Hospital. Kuzwayo was apprehended under a false name and was under police guard after having to undergo a surgical operation.
Yeah.
He escaped from the magistrate's court last month while awaiting judgment after being tried for 8 cases of rape committed in several areas, including Hillbrow, the CBD, and Cleveland in Johannesburg. Police spokesperson Nungelo Dlamini said they could not disclose why he had to undergo surgery.
It seems like a lot of people are able to escape either prison or en route to court or from court.
What a comforting thought.
Surely it's the first thing on your mind as a security guard or a policeman that that's what's going to be attempted.
Well, isn't it weird that here's this dude and he's raped eight charges of rape against him. 8, that's a lot. It's a fortune.
It means that there were probably 16.
Yeah, there were probably way more.
Yeah.
And then he's now got this charge of escaping from custody as well. There are some very dodgy people in the world. This is an interesting story in the wake of, there are two of them actually, two stories that have to do with the same thing. You know, Donald Trump has introduced a whole lot of tariffs between the US and China.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently Nike, Under Armour have decided that they want to have these tariffs removed from the list. The proposed additional tariff of 25% on footwear would be catastrophic for our consumers, our companies, and the American economy as a whole, a group of 173 companies said in a letter. Trump increased tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese imports to 25% from 10% earlier this month.
So he's trying to make people pay more for Chinese-made goods.
Correct. So that
they'll rather choose locally made goods.
So okay. You know what, Nike, you're so progressive. Why don't you figure out a way around this yourself? That's my take on this.
Yeah, you've survived many scandals and
figure it out.
Sportsman scandals.
Figure it out. Don't complain about government. You want to know how government get involved in your life? There are countries worse than the U.S. Trust me. But Huawei in the same situation.
Yeah.
You know, Huawei have obviously got this 5G technology, which they're worried is going to be affected on Android phones because Google's software won't update and all this kind of thing. Because of Trump's new sort of trade war with China. So the U.S. government's temporary easing of trade restrictions on Huawei technology bears little meaning to the company, as the Chinese firm has made preparations. That's what the founder told state broadcaster CCTV on Tuesday in an interview. He said Huawei's 5G would not be affected and predicted no other parties would be able to catch up with the company in 5G technology in 2 to 3 years, adding the U.S. government was underestimating Huawei's capabilities. So there's some fighting back from the Chinese. Anyway, if you're on a Huawei phone, there may be some interesting things ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And let's just keep an eye on that. We never know what could happen. So Bitcoin is trading at $7,915 and Ethereum at $251. And in case you missed it, our brand new feature yesterday, Beyond Bitcoin, has just launched. Cryptocurrencies are on the rise again, and we are bringing you all the latest news, the tips and insights that you need every Monday at 7 a.m. Beyond Bitcoin is brought to you by Revix. Revix's cryptocurrency bundles allow you to effortlessly own a diversified portfolio of the world's top cryptocurrencies. By holding a bundle, you can increase your return potential and reduce your investment risk, while automatic rebalancing will ensure you always hold top assets.
Yeah, you don't have to do the hard work.
You don't have to do the gambling. Don't guess. Bundle. The first episode available on cliffcentral.com for download now. You can go and hear the founder of that business, Revix. He lives in Cape Town. He's another young South African who's doing amazing, interesting things. Go and take a look. It's all at cliffcentral.com. Go and download the first episode, and it'll give you some insight into what else is happening. Since we talk about all the other currencies as well, let's look at what Bitcoin Cash is at, $409. Litecoin is at $90.10. Stellar is at $0.132, so 13 cents. And Monero is at $91.70. Just, you know, out of interest.
There we go.
Okay, so those are the things you need to know this morning. Let's turn our attention to Sia for Said by Sia this morning. What do you got?
Oh, well, you know, it's American graduation season right now. And so all of the graduations most popularly end off with a big hoopla. And
they usually get a guest speaker in.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. So here's a clip from an American university, Morehouse College. And I think this speech, you can really say they took it to the bank. Well, it was done by Robert F. Smith. He's a billionaire tech investor, and he stunned college graduates over the weekend on Sunday as he gave them his commencement speech, which ended off with him admitting that he will pay off their student loans.
What?
Wow. He said, I'm going to pay off
of all. Of how many people?
All, the whole graduating class. It's 400 seniors at Morehouse College in Atlanta. And it's just going to cost him a cool $40 million.
Oh my word. I mean,
and he's like, no problem. Okay. Listen to this.
Jeez. Celebrations.
And isn't that cool?
$40 million U.S. dollars. I think that's quite impressive, hey?
Just hang on. This thing's not playing. Just give me a second. Figure it out. There we go. All right.
On behalf of the eight generations of my family who have been in this country, we're going to put a little fuel in your bus. Now, I've got the alumni over there, and this is a challenge to you, alumni. This is my class, 2019. And my family is making a grant to eliminate their student loans. Now, I know my class will make sure they pay this forward. And I want my class to look at these alumnus, these beautiful Morehouse brothers, and let's make sure every class has the same opportunity going forward. Because we are enough to take care of our own community. We are enough to ensure we have all the opportunities of the American dream. And we will show it to each other through our actions and through our words and through our deeds.
That's great.
So class of 2019, may the sun always shine upon you. May the wind always be at your back. And may God always hold you in the cradle of her hands.
So, okay, that's interesting. I mean, so this guy is obviously paying off all their student loans, which is terrific. I mean, they sound happy, but they don't sound as happy as I thought they'd be.
Well, because
$40 million of debt just wiped out by one guy is very cool. That's really superb.
You know, it's interesting because now there's a video circulating. And if you really want to feel good about yourself today, something to brighten your day, really watch the video. It's so funny to see everyone's reactions because some of the staff wasn't expecting it who are standing behind him. And also you can tell from the crowd, maybe they're like, did we hear him incorrectly? Did he say he's wiping off like a percentage of my loans? Yeah, people are just not expecting it at all. He had to go off stage again and further clarify that for every single graduate, he is paying off all of their student loans. We speak about this issue so often on this show that, you know, yes, you go out and you've been accepted into university and you study for all of these years, but it's going to take so many more years to pay it off.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what the difference in pricing is there and here, but I mean, it's in every American movie about this, it's people being tied to this for the rest of their lives.
One of the graduates, 22-year-old Aaron Mitchum, he's a finance major, had calculated that it would take him 25 years to pay back his $200,000 student loan.
If you were told that you could get a degree, but it would take you 25 years.
You'd be 50 years old when you could pay it off.
I would say, no thanks, I don't want the degree.
Yeah.
I know this is a very unpopular opinion in this country, and I've said a few things about tertiary education institutions, and you've got parents who are bending over backwards to put their kids into universities, and like it's the thing, right? It's the guarantee, and it's not a guarantee of anything.
But it's more than half of your working life. It's actually most of your working life that you're paying this off.
And why are these universities so expensive? Is there a reason they have to be so expensive? I mean, everybody goes, oh, tertiary education is so expensive. They don't question why. Like, does it have to be? Does it really? Why is it so? Because a lot of these places have endowments, especially the U.S. colleges, mm-hmm. right? A place like Stanford, I think if they got not a single cent more out of the government, I don't know if Stanford is a private education institution or not, but if they didn't take another cent from any of their students even, they'd have enough money to last them for the next 20, 30 years,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they've got alumni who are Silicon Valley billionaires that donate huge amounts of money to them. And it's meant for research, and I get that. That's important. But there seems to be this greed going on, because it's a place that no one questions. If you think your kid's going to get a great education, you just pay up.
Yeah, that's and you look just at, meant to be.
You know, Lori Loughlin and
Felicity Huffman,
and they were willing to lie and deceive and pay off whoever they had to get their kids into college. For what? When did having a qualification, which loads of people have, really, it's not that exceptional anymore. Sure, if you've got a doctorate, that's a big deal. You know, if you're a master's degree, that's a big deal. Have you got a bachelor's degree in just about anything? So what?
Well, because it's always been interesting for me to see, because I did some things through UNISA, and those fees, as opposed to attending a university, even if you aren't living at res, the difference, the very stark difference in those fees. So I don't know what you end up paying for, because if you look at the bare education, which would be the equivalent to whatever someone studies through UNISA, that's nothing compared to the huge, huge costs that people have to fork out and pay just attending university. But
anyway,
my goodness,
look,
right.
I mean, if you want to do it, but oh, to get into that kind of debt.
For 25 years.
And
no,
what,
oh,
a nice,
no,
what
you.
A nice man this guy is. Just, what's his name?
Robert F. Smith. He's the founder of a private equity firm called Vista Equity Partners. And he already has a long history with the school, and in the past announced a $1.5 million gift to the school. And then on top of that, this $40 million payday. So Robert F. Smith, that's quite cool. That's
well,
your set by seven.
A couple of things, thank you, Sia. A couple of things that are going on that are worth reflecting on. We've got John T. Searle, who's the host of Sex Talk here on CliffCentral.com. He's going to join us after seven.
What is that, Leah?
It was a very faint whistle. I was smiling, so I pathetic. Couldn't do it properly. You know what I mean?
Just one more time. You can do it.
Those words made me smile.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about this virgin active masturbator, because...
Oh, my word, yes.
John T. said, this is exhibitionism.
That's what you were trying to say yesterday, but you got it the other way around. You said voyeurism.
Yeah, there's voyeurism and there's exhibitionism.
A very simple vanilla mind.
Yeah.
The ideal situation is when a voyeur meets an exhibitionist.
Yes.
And the one just watches the other and gets turned on.
I had very interesting research to do last night and finding out more about exhibitionism.
Mm-hmm.
And the thrill, part of the thrill, comes from the person not expecting it.
Oh, my God.
So it's not nice just to, of course, I'm going to show off to my partner. No, you do want to flash. You do want to stand on top of the roof.
In other words, the voyeur isn't going to be turned on by the exhibitionist. And the exhibitionist, it's too obvious that the voyeur is watching.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, I see. Mm. Okay,
so it's not like in a sex club.
Well, let's find out.
It needs to be totally unexpected.
Out, yeah. We'll speak to John T. just now, because this story is not going away. And then I saw Helen Ziller is still...
She's still on a tirade rant. Well, I mean, she's Twitter rant.
She is on a Twitter rant. She's just not holding anyone prisoner. She's just merciless. She's like the Khaleesi, telling you. So Helen Ziller says, yeah, once textbooks were actually delivered in response to like Musi Maimane and someone else, about how textbooks aren't being delivered to kids at schools, right? So Lynn O'Connor, who's a journalist that I knew once at Prime Media, she responds, without any research whatsoever, she's just assuming a whole bunch of things. She goes, yes, to the minority. So Helen goes, no, doll, to everyone. You were not on the ground then. You are just another predictable virtue signaler.
Did she say no, doll?
No, doll. I love it. So just taking everyone down. You are just not going to get away with talking shit in front of Helen anymore.
Mm.
Please, both my kids fell off the bed when they were babies. Okay, maybe one is slower than most, but they're otherwise just... Someone else has just messaged us.
You see, babies are resilient.
It's just a harrowing story.
Mm. Hilarious. Please keep sending me Helen's like lunatic rantings. I just love it.
Yeah.
I imagine her... I know this might be so horrible.
I'm telling you, she's smiling about all of this.
I imagine her sitting with no bra on.
Yeah.
It's midday. She hasn't bothered to brush her teeth. And she is drinking whiskey neat. And she goes, oh, where now? Who's next? Okay, yeah, you.
Time to get
no,
on to Twitter.
No, doll. Yeah. I saw.
Yeah, exactly.
No, doll.
Yeah, you. Who the hell are you? So woke Twitter, watch out. You've got a new enemy. Okay.
I say that with all the respect and love.
Doesn't matter.
She's just sitting there with all of this.
Let's see what we've got. We've got...
So for lack of sports news, without Ben, with Ben not being here...
Oh, yeah. He'll be back tomorrow, by the way, if you're really missing the sport.
Niki Lauda has passed away.
Oh, is that why he's trending? I was just about to comment on that.
He's Niki the three-time Lauda. Formula One world champion, famously lost his ears in a crash and where the car had caught a light. He's Austrian. He won his titles between 1975 and 84. And the crash that we're talking about was at the German Grand Prix in 1976. So, yeah, he died overnight 8 months after receiving a lung transplant.
Shame, oh, yeah. Man. Niki Lauda, he was always a subject for jokes when we were kids, right?
Because yeah, it was that whole...
it's because he was burnt in the car accident.
Yeah, who's the Formula One driver with no ears? Niki Lauda.
Niki Lauda, yeah.
And then you'd say Lauda, and then you'd say it Lauda.
No. Well, there's also this song, which is hilarious. This is Mama Lauda. Die heiße Mutter von Niki Lauda, which in German means who is the mother of Niki Lauda, Mama Lauda.
Heute Abend gehen wir wieder in die Disco. Wochenende voll normal, wenn kein
Germans.
Ab ins Disco. Doch das ist uns scheißegal, denn wenn der Beat.
You like this, Sia? See us getting into it.
I like the beat. It does. You could socky to this, you know.
Yeah, if you squint at it.
Yeah.
This is like après ski music before you
yes.
ski, and when people are drinking in a bar afterwards, right? Knocking back Jägermeister.
Oh.
So good. Right, I love that.
This Mama will Lauda. Be stuck Shame. In our heads.
I think we should today. Do the sports news from now on. We did a very good job.
In honor of Niki Lauda, rest in peace. There's your song, your Mama Lauda. All right. Thank you very much. That's about all the time we've got.
Look at us. Ben can't say we didn't do the sport justice this morning.
Yes.
Oh, shame. Okay, never mind. Well, I don't know if the pictures that I'm looking at, is he burnt or just old?
He was burnt
in an accident, Niki Lauda. Anyway, he died, huh?
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, that's, he died that's from, a burn mark.
After a lung operation.
Lung transplant. 7 years ago.
Right. 70, man.
Well,
okay.
He's not bad. Yeah, no. Apparently he had a good sense of humor.
I mean, he lived, obviously he had 9 lives.
Yeah, he said he had a remarkable life lived in Technicolor. So there we are. Niki Lauda. I mean, who wouldn't want that written about them, right? He was a pilot, successful businessman. He set up 2 airlines.
Whoa.
And continued to occasionally captain the planes into his late 60s. He will be remembered for the remarkable bravery and resilience he showed in recovering from a fiery crash at the 1976 German Grand Prix.
And recovered from a lung transplant, yeah. I mean.
So good for him. Very, very nice.
Apparently he was known as being outspoken, entertaining, and informed.
Excellent.
And wow. For Mama Lauda.
Mama Lauda.
There we go.
Hey, do you remember we just on the note of lung transplants, do you remember a little while ago we were talking about organ donations?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We got an email from Jerry Mitchell, who was absolutely condoning being an organ donor.
Mm-hmm. Condoning, more like an enthusiast.
Well, it's for good reason. Jerry received this letter after her father passed away, and this is the family of the recipients. They said, on behalf of the transplant team and the Gauteng Cornea and Eye Bank, we'd like to extend our condolences on the loss of your husband and family member, Stephen. As a result of your very generous offer to donate, many have benefited. A lady in her middle 50s has been able to resume her much-loved job working in a nursery, and a 66-year-old retired nursing sister is overjoyed with her newfound sight. And the bone tissue has assisted as many as 16 people, some of whom are children requiring surgery for cancer and bone deformities. And the heart valves have given two young people quality life. So on behalf of all of these most grateful recipients, we'd like to thank you for looking past your own grief to think of others. Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, you kind of think, oh, well, will they be able to use my heart? But there's so many components, the valves, you know, the they could use veins, arteries. It's amazing.
All right, don't get all grizzly on us now.
Those are 20 people that have benefited
That's
from one person.
Sure. Very, very good. You still can't have my organs.
Oh?
Sorry.
I didn't know you believe that.
No, I don't want to give any. I might need things.
Where?
Who knows?
How?
The atheist agnostic believes he might need his organs once he's died.
The ancient Egyptians, the ancient Egyptians kept everything. They had little canopic jars. A liver went into one and the heart went into the other.
Karen.
Do you maybe just want a fancy tomb in case someone finds you millions of years later?
No, I'm kidding. I don't actually
This
care.
Man must have died
would,
a king.
I would I'd donate my body to science or to I'd be an organ donor in death, absolutely. Just don't take any of them while I'm alive.
No, but just, yeah, just see wait a bit.
If you see I'm 50-50, don't harvest my organs.
There's still that 50% chance.
Yeah. Wait until you know for sure it's definitely, it's like 90% chance I'm gone, then take them.
And I thought this is actually sweet. 20 people benefited
from
it. Yeah, all
right.
Yeah,
stop guilting me.
No, we aren't guilting. I'm just educating and enlightening.
Right, thank you very much.
That's all right.
Here is we've got lots of news. We've got Jaunty Soul. We've got plenty of other good stuff coming. Here are the Gin Blossoms. Make you feel better this morning.
This is CliffCentral.com.